Hi, and welcome to the first episode of The Investor Mindset, where over a 10-episode series, we are going to discuss the markets, investing, and some of the things we can do to increase our odds of being successful long-term investors. This is James McFarland here, Senior Portfolio Manager and Investment Specialist, and thank you very much for joining me for this series. I've been working in the capital markets for a long time now, and I've been fortunate to see many different aspects of both the financial services industry and the markets. I've been able to build whole trading and investment management operations out essentially from scratch. I've been a prop trader, managing portfolios of equity, commodity, and currency derivatives. And I've managed both money and risk for large hedge funds, trust banks, investment banks, clients with total assets of just about $600 billion. But my most important role, the one that I derive the most satisfaction from, is what I'm doing right now, managing money for individuals and families looking to grow their wealth to better meet their particular financial goals. And that's who this series is for, the individual investor, whether my clients or to-be clients or anyone interested in learning a bit about the mindset that goes into investing. I created this series with the goal of providing listeners with a straightforward, interesting, and relatively short series of episodes that covers a lot of the key and core topics of being a successful long-term investor, and also covers how I and the team at Oak Harvest approach these topics for our clients. So we'll talk about the mindset that goes into being a long-term investor, and we'll talk about some of the experiences that you and I will face as investors. And we'll talk about how I believe that people can be more successful over the long term as investors. This is vital because with investing, being right about what's happening in the market is only part of the story. There is a psychology to being a successful long-term investor. I've found, both from my experience and years in the market and from published academic research, that there are ways of thinking and acting that can really play a significant role in being a successful long-term investor. And what we talk about on this show in this series is going to tie into that. Each episode will be about 10 to 15 minutes long, so they're short. You could probably listen to the whole 10-episode series over one or two workouts. So I hope you enjoy this series, and with that said, let's dive into our first topic. Here in this first episode, we're going to talk about something that I have emphasized, re-emphasized, and will probably re-emphasize again and again. It's simply a critical element of being a successful long-term investor, in my view. And that is tuning out the noise. So what do I mean by noise? Well, noise is anything that could distract you from your long-term investment strategy, from your plan. Anything that could cause you to make poor decisions regarding your investments, poor buying decisions, poor selling decisions, things that move your portfolio away from your long-term strategy. And now I'll tell you, as investors, there is a lot of noise that we have to put up with. Noise from the talking heads on TV, noise in the newspapers, noise from the internet. I mean, every time you look at any form of financial media, you're going to be bombarded with people screaming for you to buy this, sell that, panic about this, get hyped about that. If you're a long-term investor trying to execute a disciplined investment plan, it just gets exhausting. I'm going to focus here on one specific type of noise that you're going to come across, what I like to call investment fads. Because the noise doesn't just come from the media. No, that would be too easy. It can also come from the money management industry itself. You see, a lot of investment companies in the investment management industry are mainly in the business of pushing products and pushing trades. Investors sticking with a long-term strategy that doesn't require a lot of buying and selling and making changes to a portfolio, well, that doesn't really help the creators of the hot new ETF or mutual fund, and it doesn't help a broker who needs to make commissions off of his clients buying and selling stocks. Those type of people need to convince investors that their idea is the latest and greatest investment opportunity so that they'll keep making trades. And to do it, Well, they'll try to tempt folks with a wide variety of marketing techniques. It could be anything. It might be a particular geography, could be an industry, or a type of technology, or even an approach to managing risk. And this goes back decades. Let's jump back to the 1960s, when you had the Nifty 50. The Nifty 50 were a collection of 50 growth stocks, and the message to investors at the time was, buy growth at any price. And it was hugely popular among investors for a few years. Investors were coming out of the very conservative mindset that had dominated since the Great Depression, and they jumped fully on board the buy at any cost train. They bought and bought and continued right on buying, and then the stock market collapse of 1973 to 74 came along. That was the one where the Dow fell by about 45% in just a couple of years. Now, unsurprisingly, the Nifty 50 stocks did not do so well then. In fact, there was even a Forbes columnist at the time who said it was as if the Nifty 50 were taken out and shot one by one. Jump forward a little ways to the early 1990s, and you may recall hearing about the Asian tigers of Hong Kong, Singapore, South Korea, and Taiwan as being the hot new thing for at least a while. And a decade later, Goldman Sachs put the spotlight on the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and their new place in the global economy. And so those stock markets were very popular for a while. And in the late 1990s and the turn of the millennium, companies on that newfangled internet thing were all the rage. But I'm sure most people remember that the internet bubble did not end very well for most investors. And of course, in 2008, the great financial crisis happened, and in the wake of that, you had a lot of funds marketing based on their amazing risk management characteristics, with a lot of buzzwords thrown in for good measure. You had black swan funds, tail risk hedging funds, and liquid alternative strategies popping up all over the place. So how about more recently? Well, I'm sure the Bitcoin Mini of 2017 is still fresh in a lot of people's memories. Or how about pot stocks? Or any number of things. For every economic, demographic, technological, or social trend that shapes our world, there's probably been an investment fad that has gone right along with it. And the pitch is always the same. Buy this and get rich. Buy this and get rich. But it's probably not too surprising to hear that the vast majority of investment products, mainly ETFs and mutual funds, that have been launched to take advantage of these different fads and trends subsequently failed, closed, and faded from investor memory. Listen to this. Of the 2,786 equity mutual funds that existed at the start of 2004, only 51% still existed at the end of 2018. So basically, the odds of a newly launched mutual fund still existing just 14 years later was the same as a coin flip. And that's just existing. The number of funds that beat their benchmark, let alone the broader market, is even smaller. The vast majority of the time, the latest investing fad that everyone is focused on is just more noise. Now, sure, it's very easy in hindsight for someone to come in and say that, well, if you just bought this one stock or this one sector at this particular time, you could have made a fortune over this particular time period. And that's attractive. We as human beings like hearing that kind of thing. It excites us. It gets us emotionally involved in a story. But there is a wealth of evidence and research that more points to the idea that attempting to invest based on timing the market just right, which is what almost all investment fads want you to do, is not the best way to invest. A better approach is going to be developing a disciplined, goals-based, diversified investment strategy that is based on your personal situation, your ability to bear and tolerate risk, and your particular investment objectives. And then adhering to that strategy while making adjustments as your situation changes over time. So what can we do when someone confronts us with the latest and greatest investment fad and tries to convince us to start making rapid-fire changes to your portfolio? Well, we can stop and ask a few questions. First, we can ask, what is this strategy claiming to provide that is not already in my portfolio? is this strategy actually going to provide something new? You probably already have equity exposure. You may have bond exposure. You might have other types of fixed income exposure. You might have real estate exposure and other asset classes. What exactly is this new strategy claiming to give you that you don't already have? Second, you can ask, if it is providing something that's currently not in my portfolio, can I reasonably expect that including it will increase my expected returns, reduce my expected volatility, or help me achieve my investment goals? And these are very important questions. Even if you add something new to your portfolio, if it doesn't help you increase your return or decrease your expected risk, i.e. volatility, or help you achieve your investment goals, is it really something you want to add? And finally, you can ask yourself, am I comfortable with the range of potential outcomes? Every investment choice, every investment idea is going to have a lot of possible outcomes. Some of them could be very good, some of them could be less good. And if you're thinking about taking on a new idea, you have to understand the whole range of potential outcomes, and you should be comfortable with all of them. Now, if you ask these questions and have any doubts about the answers you find yourself giving, it might be wise to exercise a bit of caution before proceeding with that investment idea. You know, rather than buying into the latest fad and hoping to get lucky, I believe that by taking simple steps, like pursuing a diversified investment approach, managing expenses, managing turnover and taxes, investors can improve their odds of achieving their long-term financial goals. And that will bring us to the end of this first episode of The Investor Mindset. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this first episode and will continue to listen through to the very end. In the next episode, we're going to take a look at one of the strongest impulses that investors will face, and we'll talk about dealing with that impulse. Once again, this is James McFarland. This has been The Investor Mindset. Remember to tune out the noise, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All content contained within Oak Harvest Podcast expresses the views of the speaker and is for informational purposes only. It is based on information believed to be reliable when created, but any cited data, indicators, statistics, or other sources are not guaranteed. The views and opinions expressed herein may change without notice. Strategies and ideas discussed may not be right for you, and nothing in this podcast should be considered as personalized investment, tax or legal advice, or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell securities. Indexes such as the S&P 500 are not available for direct investment, and your investment results may differ when compared to an index. Specific portfolio actions or strategies discussed will not apply to all client portfolios. Investing involves the risk of loss, and past performance is not indicative of future results.